When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to Gospel Tangents, the best source for Mormon history, science, and theology. I'm Rick Bennett. Dr. Sally Gordon from the University of Pennsylvania spoke at a religious liberty conference at BYU in March. I asked her if she had any advice for religious leaders here at BYU and with the LDS Church. We'll talk more about that, as well as Sally's project on a slave, Biddy Mason, that has some Mormon ties. It's going to be an interesting conversation. You won't want to miss it. Check it out. Do you have some advice for religious leaders on these kind of, and I'm going to use the word culture war issues, abortion, gay marriage, gay rights, you know, that kind of thing? Do we need to tamp that down or?
Oh, that's such a tough question. I don't feel like I know an answer. Just for me, personally, I can be very inspired by many different religious thinkers and leaders and spaces and places. I'm thinking of one rabbi who came to address a class I was teaching, and she said that what she wants to deliver as a rabbi is transformative ritual and joy that flows from that. And for her, that was the key. It wasn't about anything. Politics, she didn't care. She didn't care. She wanted to provide deep and abiding meaning and joy. And I was inspired by her. I said, now that's someone you'd want to follow. I'd want to be taught by her. Or I tend not to be as thrilled, and everyone's different. I like really simple religious spaces, ones without a lot of gold leaf, or you know.
You feel
huge.
Fine at a LDS church.
or a simple altarpiece, but everyone's different, right? And I like being in a space. I really do feel church. And sometimes I feel it with lots of people around me. Sometimes I feel it when I'm there by myself. I love to go sing. I'm not a very good singer, but I love to hear good singing or enthusiastic singing. It doesn't have to necessarily be good. But I go on very long walks. You know, I mean like 200-mile walks. Yeah, long. That's my longest, but I often will walk 10 miles because I can think. My father-in-law once said to me, we were nursing my mom in her last illness, my dad and I, and he was an amazing man. He lived to be 107.
Wow.
And I think he was about 100 when he called me, and he said, how you doing? And I said, well, Mr. Gordon, because he was that kind of guy. I said,
wow.
Probably about as well as we could in the circumstances. My dad and I are here, and mom's at home. And he said, how's your running? And I didn't know what to say. I said, Mr. Gordon, why do you ask that? Because we didn't eat, we didn't sleep. Running, you know? And he said, and I can't do his voice in this, but he said, because at a certain point your body hurts so much your heart can't break anymore. And I said, thank you. And I went out and I ran 10 miles. And I grieved for my mother by running 8.5 miles to school. And no one knows you're crying. It's peaceful, it's private, and it's out in the beautiful air, in the beautiful world. So I walk, I find great comfort That is not affiliated with any church. And yet, I find it deeply meaningful. And so, one of the things that I think, and I want to write a book about pilgrimage. When I retire, I want to write a book about pilgrimage in North America. And I want to do it. I want to go do the, there are so many different kinds. Catholic, Jewish, Mormon, Native, all over the place. Presbyterian, right? But I think one of the things that we maybe have forgotten is that much of religious life happens outside affiliation. And maybe we open ourselves to that. But that's about as much as I have to offer, I'm sorry to say.
No, that's fine. Now, would you mind sharing, do you have a religious affiliation?
Sometimes. I church around a lot. I like to go to, I've been to many AME churches. There's one AME church I really like in California. It's called FAME, First AME Church of Los Angeles.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. It was co-founded by Biddy Mason.
Oh.
Yeah.
I bet my listeners, I know who Biddy Mason is, but tell my listeners who she was really quick.
Biddy Mason was an enslaved woman who was born in Georgia and sold, we think, to Mississippi in the early 1830s. She eventually wound up in the household of Robert Smith, who converted to Mormonism in 1844. And along with other slaveholding saints, they were called the Mississippi Saints, even though some of them came from South Carolina and so on. They were part of the 1848 train that came to Utah. Robert Smith brought the people he enslaved with him on that trek, and in 1851 moved to San Bernardino with the Mormon colony there. And it was in that 1850 census, which was actually taken in March 1851, that his enslaved people were listed by name and by race, mulatto or black, they were called, and all listed as going to California. Clearly, the saints were trying to imply that only 26 people were listed, then that those were the only enslaved people in Utah, which was not true. But they were all going to California. Those 26 did go to California. That wasn't all, but that wasn't all the enslaved people in Utah. But among them, the oldest among them was a woman named Biddy Mason. And eventually she was freed by default, actually, in California when her slaveholder tried to take her and 12 other people with him as he left the LDS church, or the... He didn't think he was apostatizing, but he didn't like the group in San Bernardino who were going to take the ranch that he'd built up without paying him for it. Like, it was very there was a lot of controversy in San Bernardino. But he was leaving to go to Texas. When he got to L.A., we don't know exactly who complained, but someone complained to a local judge who issued a writ of habeas corpus, which means produce the body, saying that he was being accused of keeping people imprisoned illegally, in slavery, in other words. And to make a very long story short, Smith eventually lit out in the middle of the trial and went to Texas. And so there was nobody holding these people in slavery any longer. And Biddy Mason was freed and settled in Los Angeles and became a noted and successful apothecary and healer and was one of the co-founders of FAME Church, another of the enslaved people, not by Robert Smith, but by another.
So she never converted to Mormonism?
No. No, no, no. And she took the name Mason after she was, after she freed herself, really. No, there's no evidence that she was ever a Mormon. And she co-founded FAME Church. And I have worshipped there several times and enjoyed myself a great deal.
That's great.
Yeah, she was a lovely, clearly a charming person. Everyone liked and admired her.
Yeah, that's a nice little tie to Mormonism, I think. Well, I don't know. Is slavery a good tie to Mormonism?
Well, I would say that certainly the Latter-day Saints wrestled with slavery. Slavery was very popular and very powerful in the United States. Becoming an abolitionist was a dangerous endeavor. And Brigham Young certainly wanted to recruit Southerners, welcomed Southerners, and called slavery a divine institution, and did say that the best result for a person of African heritage was to be held as a slave by a Latter-day Saint.
Because our slavery is better than everybody else's
slavery,
right?
And let me just say one thing in defense of that. Because we don't know when Robert Smith left very quietly from San Bernardino. He clearly was followed by the San Bernardino sheriff, who was a Latter-day Saint. Among the people who was being taken was a woman named Hannah, who was married and whose husband was held as a slave still in San Bernardino. She was very pregnant. She gave birth about a month after they left. And it's very clear that among the things Brigham Young insisted on was that no slaveholder break up families. And so one of the things you could see, first of all, that the Latter-day Saints would not be pleased with Robert Smith for leaving, right? But he did pay his tithes, you know, before he left. They also would, I think, have been very upset that he was breaking up this family, just especially as this woman was about to have a child. So there is some argument. Something like 30% of all marriages were destroyed by sale in the South. There's been studies of this. So there is an argument that the understanding of the importance of family did some work to humanize at least some approaches, and I think that's certainly possible. It seems that both the San Bernardino sheriff and the L.A. County sheriff, those are two counties, met with the judge, and they're the ones who asked for they petitioned for the writ of habeas corpus. We don't know whether the real instigators might have been free blacks. That's certainly possible. But that the sheriff would go along with it seems to me to indicate some sympathy.
Okay. San Bernardino was actually founded by Mormons, right?
Yes, it was. Oh, yes, it's the Mormon colony.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We can go into how they got ripped off on the land and how controversial, and it was falling apart well before the Mountain Meadows Massacre.
Yeah, they abandoned it to go to Mountain Meadows, right?
Oh,
terrible. I hope you enjoyed our conversation with Dr. Sally Gordon from the University of Pennsylvania. In our next conversation, it's going to be our last, and so you need to sign up to our free newsletter at gospeltangents.com/newsletter so I can send you a secret link to the final part of our conversation. We're going to talk about Native American slavery. What does Sally think about that?
If you study how the slave trade worked in Utah and across the Southwest, you know, the slave trade went up when the Mormons arrived. When Europeans arrived, it went up. So it's hard to say that this was just helping kids.
If you'd like to hear the entire interview uncut, please subscribe to patreon.com/gospeltangents for just $5 a month. Patreon is spelled patreon.com/gospeltangents. If you'd like to watch the entire video, you can subscribe at YouTube, Patreon, or on my website at gospeltangents.com and click the yellow subscribe button for just $8 a month. PDF transcripts are just $10 a month, and you can get those on patreon.com/gospeltangents or on my website. I'll send those to you as soon as I've finished completing it. If you'd like to get a paperback and PDF, just subscribe for $20 a month at either Patreon or on my website. Individual paperbacks are available at amazon.com. Just do a search for Gospel Tangents interview, and you can find all of our past interviews there. Show your Gospel Tangents pride by purchasing a t-shirt on our website at gospeltangents.com/shop. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts at tinyurl.com/gospeltangents. You can get our latest updates by friending me at Facebook, or you can also follow our page at facebook.com/gospeltangents. Become an insider and you can see the newest videos. Follow us on Twitter at Gospel Tangents. Click here to subscribe, here for a transcript, and over here we've got some of our great videos. Thanks again.
Save big this summer with great deals. All in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of flavorful Kroger 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound. Then buy two, get two free on select varieties of delicious Doritos, Tostitos, or Ruffles chips, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.